We'll call the meeting to order at 5:50. And roll call, Sean Giese.
Here.
Will McCominick here. Stacy Kirkland. Jason Ingram.
Here.
Okay. The Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay, let me, I just want to make note that the Portola office is open, although it has Michelle Fingston's name on there. Can I share my screen? Yeah, I can share my screen. Guys, all seeing that?
Yep.
Okay, ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Whitney's trying something.
No, I'm just clearing off all my notifications.
Oh, okay. Okay, so any questions or comments on the consent agenda items? No? Okay. Any public comments?
We still got to approve it.
Oh.
I'm going to approve.
See?
That's you will.
Oh, that's not on mine. Maybe that's why I forgot it. Okay. Sean made the motion. I'll second. All in favor of approving the consent agenda by roll, Sean?
We don't have to do a roll if you don't want to, because we're all present.
Oh, that's right, because Stacy's. Okay. All in favor?
It's still being done via Zoom, the meetings, so you still need to do it by roll.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. All in favor by roll, Sean?
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy, absent. Jason?
Aye.
Okay. Public comments? We have no public at this location.
There's no public in Portola State. Kelly, do you have anybody else there?
No. Okay.
We don't have a agenda approval on the agenda.
Agenda for what?
Agenda approval.
For.
Do we normally approve the agenda?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So can we back up and agree to add that?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That should have been item 3, I think.
Yep.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda with the addition of number 3, approving the agenda. Awesome.
Thank
you. Did you hear that, Sherry?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
By roll, Sean?
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy, absent. Jason?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, Sean. I didn't even notice that.
Boy, yeah. Can you tell I was a little under the weather? Sorry.
That's okay. So, three... We're not missing any others in there, are we? I'm just looking at the...
We're not.
Okay, perfect.
Four.
Yeah. Okay. So on to reports. Any reports from the board members? No? Sherry, executive director report.
I have nothing more to add for mine.
Okay.
Oh. I should have a solid update. I forgot. I do have something to report. I've been in contact with Mr. O'Brien with the Plumas National Forest. He said that he should have a really good update by next meeting with a solid time when we can get the trees and all that good stuff.
Good.
He was hoping to have one by today, but he didn't have one. So.
Okay. Matthew, I think we're ready for the finance report.
You got it. Thank you guys for having me here tonight. I will be reviewing our actuals through December, so halfway through the year. I'll go ahead and share my screen for you. All right. Actually, getting a little ahead of myself. Let's go ahead and start with the summary. You guys, I'm sure at this point, are used to seeing this. Here, I like to highlight the cash flow portion of this. We are projecting right now 214 days cash on hand, which is 58% of your annual expenditures for Long Valley. Thompson Peak is at 267 days, which is 73% of your annual expenditures. So still a very healthy cash position. I'll move forward here to our summary page. The one thing that jumps out to me is we are finally getting to catch up on that revenue. You can see net income instead of net losses for both sites now. One thing I always try and check out when I'm looking at this is this percentage. If this was under 40%, at 50% of the year, usually around December, between the low 40s to 45s where I expect it. So this looks great. And again, if it was under, that's when we start asking questions. Where's the delay? Is there something going on with the county or the authorizers, or was something not captured by my team? So everything looks good here. I was very pleased to see that. The next six pages you're actually going to see are going to be your detailed pages that breaks out each of the individual object groups. And if anyone has any specific questions on those, please let me know. The first four pages are going to be your income statement broken out by individual resource. Everything is looking exactly where we would expect it to be, especially as we move into second interim. The next two pages will be your balance sheet. Again, these are going to be the detailed object groups for each one of your balance sheet items. And at the end, if you guys have any specific questions, I'd be happy to go over those items with you. For me, nothing's really standing out. Always tying out cash to the net position, which looks good. And our last piece is our cash flow, which I touched on a little bit earlier, but this is a little bit more of a visual view with each one of your months broken out. So right here, we have July through December, which is your actuals. This is Long Valley. And then the projected based on the budget amounts for the remaining 6 months. Again, we're looking at a strong ending position despite the projected expenses, especially with the potential purchases coming up, which hopefully is sooner than later. And then we'll jump over to Thompson Peak, which is in even a stronger position based on their expenses. So even though it is a little bit less cash on hand, given the size and the nature of the operation, it is in a very strong position. And with that, I'll go ahead and take it to any questions.
Nothing here.
Okay. All I'll add is next time you see me, we will be reviewing the second interim update. That will be something that myself and my team will be working with Sherry and Elle on for the next 4 weeks, really, and getting that to the board. That will be our last major update of the year. Sometimes you'll hear me refer to that as SIB, and I know I try and avoid acronyms, or Sherry will stop me in my tracks. So just wanted to let you guys know that will be what's coming up next.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next is the program reports that came from, they're attached in writing from the campus locations and the special programs and safety.
Can I ask Misty to, you know, make special note here of one of the items in her report?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm here. What were your report? I didn't know if you guys got to see the mascot.
Okay. I heard
the kids, it started with the students who went around and took votes from each class. They put their input in and then we narrowed it down. Staff voted, got it down to three, and then we sent it home and via a survey created by Miss Whitney. She's so savvy with that stuff. And then we took the outcome of the survey and there it is. And Tyson actually came up with that really cool logo. So I would like to announce it to the families tomorrow, but I was waiting till after tonight. You guys love that logo though, come on.
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty neat?
Yeah, I like it.
That is really
cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
I think it's very cool. I love the process you followed.
Is that it? Okay.
That's all I had.
Great.
That was a big deal. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is.
Waited. They kept saying, what is it?
It's tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They were in suspense.
Yeah.
neat. That's good. And everybody was involved. That's,
yes.
That's important. Yeah.
That's good.
Good. Any other board reports that anybody wants to add? No. Okay. Let's go on to information items.
And here I used an acronym. California Healthy Kids Survey.
Yeah, I wasn't going to touch that one.
All right, sorry. And I think Miss Whitney's going to talk to us about this.
Okay.
Yes. I got to come over and look at the screen because I don't. Can you share it, Sherry? Or I don't have a pack or a copy in front of me since I'm on my computer.
Okay, so
I can pull it up really quick though.
I can share it.
Okay.
It'll take me a few moments. Let's see. I do have it and I can share it.
Can you make it just a tiny bit bigger for me?
Probably.
Thank you.
How is that?
You want this?
That's perfect. Oh, thank you, Wilma. Yeah. I thought I would be able to use my computer and just be able to look at the notes. So, you know, when technology fails.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much, Wilma.
I got to see it in front of me and the rest of completely lost.
Okay, so in a few months ago, we administered the California Healthy Kids Survey to 5th, 7th, 9th, and 11th graders, as well as staff and parents. So for Long Valley, we only have the elementary results back. We're still trying to get the middle school and high school. And then the Portola site did not have any 5th graders that took the survey. So if the results are less than 10 students, we don't get results in that section. So we don't have results for the elementary kiddos for Doyle and Portola. The parent survey, we had 20 respondents, 16 from our in-person model. So we're guessing that's here. And then 4 remote. So those could be IS parents from here or Portola. And so Jared, Misty, and I all looked at the results and just kind of highlighted a few areas that we had some strengths. You know, the parents feel that our kids' safety, you know, they're not concerned about safety when they return to in-person learning. For the majority, there is one family. Another strength, we actively seek advice of parents before making important decisions. There were a few that disagreed and didn't know, and we just had a comment of, we weren't sure what else we can do. I feel like we over-communicate sometimes. So, you know, I wasn't sure what else we could do, but, you know, we treat students with respect, provide high quality instruction. So those were all good highlights to look at. Some areas of concern. Some parents thought bullying or harassment is a small or somewhat problem, still not a large chunk of the families, but enough that we want to take a look at it. And then instructional materials reflect my child's culture, ethnicity, and identity. Identity, gosh, I can't talk. We had 11% disagree and 28% that didn't know or wasn't applicable. So that's something that we can look at. Staff, we had a few other same thing, areas of strength and concern. I won't go through all of them. And then just some areas that we want to focus on next year more professional development and training in supporting students exposed to trauma or stressful life events. Classroom management, that's always on the list. Working with diverse racial and ethnic or cultural groups, and then meeting the needs of our youth. So those are some areas we'd like to focus on next year. And then for Thompson Peak, we only have the high school results back. We didn't get the middle school or elementary. So some areas of strength, the students feel the staff notice, you know, when they're not there. They have people that they can listen to and when students are talking, and the teachers or the students feel the teachers believe the students will be successful and they are happy to be at that school. So that's always a good thing to hear, because what kid likes to go to school, you know. And then some areas of concern, bedtime, a lot of kids aren't going to bed till 12 a.m. or later. So these are high school students, so that didn't surprise us as much, but still something to look into. And then another alarming student fact was 40% of the ninth graders that took this survey have seriously considered attempting suicide. So that was pretty alarming. So we are definitely going to make sure they know about all the supports that we offer, and if they need more help than we can provide, we'll help get them connected to outside agencies, because
that's the Patola kids.
That's our Susanville kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and that there were, I forgot to tell you the students, 12 ninth graders that took that. So it was enough that it jumped out that we really want to keep an eye on those kids. The parents feel welcome to participate at the school. The staff treat them with respect, and we promote academic success for all kids. And in some areas of concern, child's mental well-being. So that goes along with the other concerns. And then providing information on how to help your child plan for college. As we know, Mrs. Sherman has done us a huge favor and was teaching third, fourth for us up until now. So she hasn't been able to see some of those kids. So hopefully now that she's back to that, we'll see that change. And the staff had some strengths and areas of concern and some other areas that we'll look at for training next year. So any questions?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, the iReady reports.
Again.
I guess I should have let you sit down. That's okay.
That, so we just wrapped up our iReady testing. Let me just pull that up. Sherry, do you have those accessible?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find my button to share.
Thank you. I did an iReady training this afternoon, and they showed me this handy little tool now in my system that presented all the information that I spent last week digging through multiple reports. And I was like, well, at least we found it for next time. But, so is this Long Valley or Thompson Peak? I can't quite see it.
Long Valley. Okay.
Thank you. So we had to extend our window by a week, just because of the closure and the kids in and out. So we had 220 kids out of 237 take the diagnostic, and we did see some areas of improvement. We still have a fair amount of kids in red, but we are seeing the honor above grade level increase. And then the kids that are one grade level below increased a little bit, but the three grade levels below decreased. So they're slowly starting to move up. So I'm okay if I see the yellow get bigger and the red get less. Obviously we want them all yellow or green, but at least we're moving in the right direction. So then this next section is the strand breakdown from fall to winter. So in where they increased or decreased based on the specific domains such as phonics, comprehension. So we had the areas in green are positive growth, and then the areas in red are a decrease. But if they're in the 2 to 3 grade level column below, if the number is going down, that means we are having less kids in that. So it's kind of a double negative almost. So there were only a few areas that we didn't see any change, but we're starting to move in the right direction. So that is for reading. If you can scroll down to
this, is the overall number compared to last time?
Mm-hmm.
For reading?
Yeah, so that's what it is, these two bars up here.
What was the number last time?
For on or above grade level, it was 30% for the winter, 18% in the fall. So we increased 12% for that.
That's for here.
Correct. Here and Portola. I can't split. I could split, but I'd have to manually go in and look kid by kid.
Yeah. So that was fall and winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And now that I have these cool reports that show all the breakdown, you know, with just a click of a button, I'll send them to you just so you can see. It seems like that happens every time I get a report pulled and then they send me a link for an easier way to do it. So then we can look at math for Long Valley. If you could scroll down. Thank you, Sherry. So math, we increased our kids in on or above grade level as well, and decreased a lot of the red. So the yellow section, the kind of the middle of kids 1 grade level below, is increasing, but we're starting to move those kids 2 and 3 grade levels below up to the next kind of chunk.
What's your overall?
Overall, in the fall was at 10% earlier on above grade level, and the winter is at
21.
Sorry, I was like, I can't quite see the number. So we're starting to make some jumps.
You think just the face-to-face created the jump?
I think, well, in math, we have Mr. Landerman going in and doing some different intervention stuff. And then at the Susanville site and at the Portola site, they have more direct instruction math classes and broken down more at the kids' level that has really been helping. So
is there one more in the spring, or are we done?
So we will test K through 2 on iReady and 9th and 10th, and then 3rd through 8th they'll do the state testing and 11th grade. So we don't recommend that those kids take the iReady test again, just because that's a lot. Some teachers may have them do it, but that'll be, you know, approval based. So, and then again, the strand kind of in domain breakdown.
I'm going to jump to Thompson Peak.
Yes. So Thompson Peak, we did see some growth as well. Not as much jumps in reading, but we did see a little bit in more math. So fall was at 18% on or above grade level. And then the winter, we stayed the same at 18. However, did I copy the same thing? No. It's, there's very slight differences. It's just a little bit more on the bottom. They did jump more in math than reading. So reading wasn't as much of a jump. But they did, for some of the domains, we did see some increase. So the overall score for averaging all the grades didn't change as much, but we did see a little bit more once we broke it down by strand. So then math is where they did a lot better. So we went from 12% on or above grade level in the fall to 18%. But the 3 grade levels below and
went from 34.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry. I'm trying not to cover my head in the camera too much.
Yeah, no. So at this point, those kids that are that far behind are 49%.
So that
am I
too.
Adding that right? 49% of the kiddos. Whereas in the we were at 54%. So we've dropped the number of kids at that really far below grade level.
Well, they got better.
They got better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it went from a larger percentage down to a slightly smaller.
So in the reading, since it hasn't changed, is it going to be any kind of interventions?
Yes. That's what my project for this last few weeks has been, is trying to look at
the change with the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking at just how we can get more interventions built in and targeting specific needs for kids and really tracking where they're at. So.
So I want everyone to know, can you talk a little bit about the ILP process that you developed, Whitney, and what that looks like?
Yes. So every teacher has an Excel sheet with all their students listed on it. So they track their fall I-ready scores and then their winter. And so we look at who's making progress, if they're not, what areas we need to focus in. We also have other factors in there. Do they have an IEP? Do we know that they are already identified with having some struggles? And then we, now that the window has closed, all the teachers have been looking at their scores and updating their ILP to see, okay, who has made progress, who has not, and then what we're gonna do with that next.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think one of the big questions now is, what were we doing if it didn't work? Now we need to change to a different intervention to try to improve it, because we got a couple months to help them before that state testing.
Right. So if they didn't improve, we obviously have to change what they were doing or try some different strategies and that kind of stuff. So.
Well, the math went up, and that's good. It's just a read.
Yeah.
And then the other two, that wasn't one, those gaps.
Yeah, so we're getting there. At least it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Were these numbers a lot different pre-COVID?
Not necessarily. I think the kids below grade level was probably not as much, but we still had a fair amount of kids scoring in that. I can pull historical results.
I'm just curious.
If you'd like.
We did do a dip, though.
Yeah, we did do a dip.
This fall.
We always see our fall scores are pretty high, or high in the areas we don't want them to be high. And then by the winter, we start seeing those numbers shift a little bit. I've looked at numbers pre-COVID, but I couldn't tell you off the top of my head right now. But
I would say overall, there's probably a 10% shift in both areas. So we definitely took a dip from where we were to where we are today. But I'm reassured that numbers are moving in the right direction between fall and winter, because we want to see whatever we're doing is actually benefiting students. We're noticing that direct instruction for middle and high school math is really becoming very effective. And so that tells us that we need to expand that opportunity and do more of it.
Good. Thank you, Whitney.
Thank you. I think that's all for my reports right now.
Oh, wait a minute. You're sitting down unless you got the next one. the mid-year update on the LCAP presentation. And that's what Elle gave us right in the handout. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk you through some of this. So I don't know what order you have papers in. Let me pull this up and maybe we can match share screen, screen two. Tell me when you're looking at it, if you would.
It's too small.
You're seeing this one. This is the LVS 21-22 LCAP summary.
I think that's the second one you guys have.
Yeah, the first one we have is Thompson Peak. But we can flip it.
Nope, I can get to Thompson Peak, no problem. Okay. No problem. So it's the one with all these actions, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So the state sprung on us that we need to do this LCAP mid-year update. And pretty recently they told us we need to do this. So the leadership team and I worked together at looking at every single action we had in the LCAP and what we've done on it so far, so that we could provide you with this mid-year progress. And I think I can run down these pretty quickly. There is obviously a lot of similarity between Thompson Peak and Long Valley. There's a couple of lines that are different, but for the most part, they're really similar. And one of them is in the first action is we're willing, and not every school is willing, but we're willing to pay for teachers to go through their credential clearing activities. It's a significant amount of money if they had to pay for it out of their pocket, but we do include that in our expenditures. No teachers participated at Thompson Peak this year. Two are participating in Long Valley. And I think, Kelly, it's just the stage each teacher's in. We try to always have funds for up to three staff, but this year there's just no staff at that point in their career to need that activity. You think next year maybe, Kelly?
Maybe people just finished a lot of their Cal State Teach this year. So,
okay. Maybe. So maybe next year, maybe the following.
Yeah.
Okay. Instructional materials inventory. This is where we're buying those extra textbooks and workbooks and things of that nature. That's an ongoing process. We rarely have difficulty spending those dollars. We said we would buy internet servers and provide support, and those are being done at all locations. We have hotspots that we give out. We pay for their fees each month for internet. That's for any student that's requested that, needed it, been encouraged to take it. Janitorial maintenance at Thompson Peak, that's all our vent. We have a vendor that provides those services. And then we pay for any kind of maintenance that we need. And in Doyle, we have somebody that's on our staff doing that work. So it's employees, and a vendor is hired in Portola. We do weekly meetings or monthly meetings. I'm going to say that Thompson Peak definitely does weekly meetings. I think that Doyle does monthly meetings to continually train staff. This one's Whitney's baby. She's got some meetings planned for spring on making sure everyone's trained and how to work with English learners. One of the things we needed to do is start taking a look at our foreign language work, and everyone's discovered Duolingo, which I misspelled here apparently, which has some free online coursework for younger students. And then we're utilizing Rosetta Stone. And we have a textbook where our teachers are doing direct instruction for. And I think each location for high school has somebody that's fluent and is providing some lessons. Health curriculum standards. This one is just in process. Kelly and her team have been pulling assignments and lessons and helping all the locations get there. We do have our career and college counselor. That's Kathy. Regrettably, she spent the first half of the year in a classroom because we desperately needed her to do that. And now she's back on the job as full-time career and college counselor. We said we provide online coursework, and students have access to both the Sprite Thinker and eDynamics coursework. We said we'd provide parent family outreach. We had hired Eleanor to do this work, and she has ended up, due to some personal situations, she's actually moving out of the area and resigned. So we are scrambling to figure out how else we can do that parent outreach with existing staff. We said we'd subscribe and use Parent Square, post to Facebook where possible. And I would say that we have those subscriptions. I think each location uses Parent Square very well. There is some Facebook in use and probably will be more coming. And I was hoping that our outreach person would contact families during their first 2 weeks of school to just make sure they're connected to everything. So that's to be completed. Credit course monitoring, that's in process and expected to be done by the end of May. We talked about anti-bullying efforts. We use Stop It. We have a anti-cyberbullying curriculum that all the teachers push out to their students. And we use Safe Schools for our staff to learn about anti-bullying. Right now, we offer better lesson coaching to help especially newer teachers with classroom management. I think there's one teacher in Susanville and maybe two in Doyle. Does that sound right, Misty?
One in Doyle
and two in Susanville.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Great. Just
flip it. Oh, Whitney knows. Whitney set those up.
I was like, just flip it.
Okay. Got it wrong. We have for this year to build the shooter on campus plans. We have regular safety plans, but we needed to go deeper. We're just having a little bit of difficulty connecting with the California Bureau of Investigations. They offered, and we really wanted to take them up on reviewing the draft plans that we have and to help us really think about how to appropriately roll that out as to not, you know, scare our families and students. So that's in process. We did purchase The Leader in Me, and staff have been trained. Teachers are pushing out lessons to students on a regular basis, but I don't think we've done the kind of parent activities we were hoping for. And part of that is really, we have not had very much going on campus due to COVID. So I think that may be delayed till next year. We said we'd bring in mental health counseling for our students. We've needed to use presence learning for online because we cannot find an in-person counselor for Susanville or Doyle. We were fortunate to contract with Plumas Rural Services. They send someone up to Portola once a week, so they're getting live services there. We said we would purchase air filtration units, but they ended up being donated. So we'll have a little bit of money to shift to some other category. And then we regularly do some training with staff, and the staff push it out to students on safety protocols. This one is different. This one's not on Long Valley student mobility. Thompson Peak has a lot of student turnover, and I really believe that's because students are feeling frustrated up at the high school or at the middle school grades, and then they pop over. Ends up being not a great fit for them, and then they go back. And so that changeover causes student mobility to be high, and Kelly and I really wanted to kind of take some time to take a look at that and see what we could do differently to maybe prevent some of that. Really hard on staff and students to have that change. We said we were going to put some money for tutoring and support and have a staff member provide that RTI and tutoring. And that started, but then that person ended up becoming a teacher with a full caseload of students. So we're still back to the boat of looking for another person. The paras are providing that service right now to do some RTI and tutoring. We also said that we would have these tools, the iReady Toolbox and Standards Plus. We use Camp CASP in the spring. We have one of our staff members help support teachers with their online students. This next one was to make sure we started having more direct instruction in math foundations, which is our middle school, high school curriculum that's happening for our sites. It said a sure demonstration of mastery using computer-aided instruction. We use iReady and iXL, our two products that we picked up, and students, depending on the preferences in each classroom, use those tools to, especially kiddos who are behind grade level, that's a way they can catch up while still getting their grade level instruction. We just talked a little bit about ILPs, which has been Whitney's baby this year. And I think that's moving in the right, absolute right direction. The conversations that are happening are excellent with figuring out what each student needs. And so we show you all that information on that high level, but then teachers and administrators and Whitney are looking at every single student and really seeing what they need. We hired somebody to help us expand our A through G courses and then had to put them in the classroom. So that's on hold. I do have a vendor who's going to help us writing a few courses this year. So we'll make a little progress in that, but not to the extent I thought we would do. We have Miss Annie does CTE. You see, you have some new pathways to approve tonight. Career and college counselor mentioned again here. We are doing some writing through the leader in me to hopefully help our scores in that area. We noted some reading programs which have been purchased and are in use. We in both schools said that we wanted to hire another teacher help keep our roster sizes low. And it feels to me like every time we've hired another teacher, someone leaves and we keep doing this up and down with our teacher numbers. And I think that's just a situation we have little control over right now. We definitely have hired paraeducators in each location. We have picked up a tool to really help us look at data on a large scale. When we go to renew our schools in 2026, we need to show data that students are making growth, and having the right tools to do that feels important. We have Whitney, who is providing oversight for students with disabilities. You know, they very typically perform much lower than other students. So having someone to kind of look over what's happening is appropriate. And we have one paraeducator who's dedicated to special education in each location. We've done that. And then our goal four was really about mastery-based learning, project-based learning, the kind of goals that are just local goals that we're not, the state's not looking at us to do. One of the things we really wanted to do was a book study, and we've not done that yet. And I can't even imagine, I think it's gonna be an undone action. Because I think staff are just so pressed this year, asking them to do anything beyond what they have to do right now. I can't bring myself to do it. We've been working on Modern Classroom Project, which is about writing lessons and having them prepared, recording some videos to go along with them. And I think in the long run, we're still moving in that direction so that students, if they're out, need to remote learn for a period of time, they have lessons ready to go. Power standards needing to be refined, not yet completed, but that's all in process. I have someone starting to work on writing some lessons for projects, because we said we wanted to start developing that. And We have limited practice in setting weekly goals for students. And again, I think just a result of COVID, kids in and out pretty regularly have made that difficult. We're looking at a way to really track mastery. Right now we're using a manual checklist. Kelly has a tool identified that she'd like to pilot probably in the late spring. Yeah, Kelly? So hopefully that'll happen. And then we did have 3 staff training days. Is this terribly boring? Again, no one's saying like, wow, cool. Not that you should. And then you have pages on metrics. And we needed to take a look at all our metrics and say, how are we doing? I'll stop sharing for a minute. How are we doing on all of those? And many of them, we're not going to know till the end of the year. Many of them need to be analyzed at the end of the year. But some of them are available because some of the outcomes would be based on 2021. So it's kind of all over the place. You'll have some that you have the statistics and some that you will not have the statistics for. And let me know if you'd like me to go in any more detail on those outcomes or if you just want to scan through them and ask questions. It's your pleasure.
We'll scan through them.
Are these mostly what you worked on, Whitney?
No, I just gave Sherry some of the information for iReady, but okay. A lot of it came from Sherry.
I guess one of the questions I have just briefly looking at it is for the 23-24 targets, where you determine what the percentages, what the target percentages were going to be.
Right.
What was that based on?
So that was what was in our approved LCAP when we approved that last one in June, that you have to come up with a target. So basically when we came up with those numbers, it was to show an improvement that I thought was attainable.
Okay.
Looking at usually a growth of 1-2% a year. Because where I didn't want us, you know, I wanted enough of a reach, but not too far that we couldn't make.
Right. That was, yeah.
I see some of them we've already exceeded.
You see that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good, you want to keep it kind of low.
You know, and some things, you know, like graduation rate, you don't want to be less than the state average. Like some of those kind of things, you know, are.
Yeah. Good.
But I think, you know, looking at it, a lot of it has shaped up nicely. You know, bring to your attention the CASP scores. You're seeing now the CASP scores that students took that test in May of last year. And now those scores are posted. They're like, I'm looking at the LVS one. It's on rows 27 and 28.
Got it.
So we're not at our goals on those, but we're making progress. And I think those are in line with what you're seeing on the iReady test. I don't think they're so far off of where we were. That winter score is supposed to be decently predictive. So unless we change what we're doing. We're changing what we're doing to help kids improve more.
Right. Okay.
Okay, and then there was one more page to this, and I'm sorry for this painful presentation. Do you have one more set of pages with a chart?
Oh, yeah, got it.
Mm-hmm. Annual update, supplemental narratives. So this also needed to be provided. And basically, I think the questions had to do with what are you doing? Since June, they have been throwing extra money at us. Have you involved, and they're not calling everyone stakeholders anymore. They're calling everyone educational partners. Have you involved your educational partners in the decision-making and at least gathered input, let them comment, make changes based on those comments? And is it in line with your LCAP? And is it in line with the plans you've made? And so these narrative questions and responses that are on those pages are in response to that. And yes, we are doing those things in line with what we said we would do. Each of those plans, if you look back, you'll see we got them approved. We went through a process of asking for input. I still, on the last one, I feel like I want to present you with a crosswalk of the actual LCAP goals and what's in another plan to show you that alignment, but I don't have that for you today. And then that last page with the chart was produced by Matthew. Thank you, Matthew. Showing the federal funds. And you can see if there's not a July number, that means we didn't even know about that amount in July, where they shifted it from one thing to another, because they did a lot of shifting. And you have a quick summary of the kind of things and what we've spent so far. And I'm happy to take questions on that part of the update.
Any questions?
Not really, other than when we set targets for 23 and 24, we don't want to set them too high so that way we can meet them and exceed them. Is that the idea as far as those numbers?
Yep.
Right.
And Jason, those were set at in June we approved the LCAP. Those were already stated and adopted by us as our targets. I just wanted you to see next to, you see our base of where we were last year when we wrote it, and then where we are today, anything we know that we can update you on today.
That's all.
Okay.
And I think of the next round of LCAP, if you feel like we should be increasing some of those, that would be a point that I believe we should be able to make updates on those.
Okay. We'll move on to the action items. Discussion and possible action regarding approval of amendments to the employee handbook regarding removal of the requirement for pre-employment drug testing and removing the maximum cap on sick leave accrual effective July 1st of 21. Sean made a motion. I'll second it. All in favor by roll. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy absent. Jason?
Aye.
Item B, discussion and possible action regarding approval of new CTE pathways, marketing, and networking.
Move to approve.
Also.
All in favor by roll. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy absent. Jason?
Aye.
Item C, discussion and possible action regarding approval of updating the bylaws to allow up to 49% interested board members.
Can you give me a background on what that means, Sharon?
Yeah, sure. So our bylaws said there can be no interested board members, which meant anytime we had somebody with a relative that we wanted to hire, we either couldn't hire that person or that board member needed to step off of the board. And so I was having a conversation with someone outside of our school and they said, well, that's ridiculous. That's not what the law allows. And I'm like, okay. So I went back to our attorney and I said, is there a possibility? What is the possibilities here? And they said, well, that the rule we had adopted as a board before my time was more restrictive than what the law requires. So I said, bare minimum, what does the law require for us? And the government code says 49%.
So,
you know, I have in mind that there are future people that we might want to be hiring that could be related to a board member. And I don't want that tripping us up. It's so hard to find teachers that having that as an issue, I'd like to eliminate before we come to that point.
Okay, I'll move to approve.
I'll second it. All in favor? Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy? Absent. Jason?
Aye.
Item D, discussion and possible action regarding approval of submitting the J13A waiver for the missed days of school for Long Valley.
Approve.
I'll second. All in favor by roll. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy? Absent. Jason?
Aye.
Was that Jason that made the motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Item E, discussion and possible action regarding approval of updated calendars indicating emergency makeup days.
That's your approve.
I'll second. All in favor by roll. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy absent. Jason?
Aye.
Okay, future items. The second interim budget, the calendar for 22-23, the updated org chart, and the LCAP needs assessment. Can't think of anything from today's meeting. Anything else, Sherry?
Well, I'm going to add the crosswalk that I said I wanted to provide to you of the LCAP and other plans.
Is that it?
That's all.
So we'll adjourn at 6:50.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Hope you feel better.